This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture. I'm T. Xiao Yik and joining me today are Kelly Anisa and Lim Su An. First up, the Ministry of Health has just confirmed that a measles outbreak is sweeping through the Batik Orang Asli community in Kampung Kuala Koh, Kelantan. So we'll be giving you an update on that.
Yes, and on a second story, when it comes to junk food, we always say that it's bad for us. But do we understand why? So we'll be exploring that later.
So on that note, we're asking you on Twitter, how often do you eat processed food? So processed food could include junk food, hot dogs and nuggets. Your options are every day, 3 to 5 times a week, a few times a month or never. So you can take that poll at BFM Radio or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900.
All that coming up after two small deaths by Y Oak.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
That was Two Small Deaths by Y Oak, and now we are looking at the deaths of the Orang Asli villagers of the Batik community in Kampung Kuala Koh, Kelantan. So the Ministry of Health has confirmed that it is a measles outbreak that is sweeping through this community, and the latest reported death was of 3-year-old Nasri Rosli due to complications from measles. Mm. So as we've been reading and hearing over, I think, the past 2 weeks, the community in Kampung Kuala Koh, the Batik community, have been experiencing what they've called a mysterious illness.
Yeah.
And now, you know, the 15 deaths so far had finally raised alarm bells last week and prompted the health authorities to investigate what is happening there. And so the police and the Ministry of Health have actually been going to quite great lengths, and it's taken them a while to be able to pinpoint it because it includes having to track down the burial locations of those who had died, because this community are nomadic.
Yeah.
And so some of them were actually traveling on foot through the jungle, and when members of that family died, they actually buried them where they were. So the authorities have had to track those down and exhume those bodies for post-mortem to be carried out. So now the ministry has confirmed that 37 villagers also have tested positive for measles, and they've managed to rule out other diseases like TB, melioidosis, leptospirosis and coronavirus by using lab tests.
And the Minister of Health, Datuk Sri Dr. Zulkifli Ahmad, also said that the main factor for the outbreak is actually the low coverage of MMR vaccination within the community. So MMR being measles, mumps and rubella. And within the community, only 61.5% have received their first dose of the MMR vaccine, and this percentage actually further drops to 30% when it comes to the second dose. And Dr. Zul also said that the medical teams find it difficult to reach out and provide health services in a more wholesome way to the Batik tribe due to their nomadic lifestyle.
So I spoke to Dr. Amar Singh this morning. He's a senior consultant pediatrician, to get his perspective and to understand more about the effect of measles on the Batik community. As the former head of the pediatric department in Hospital Rajapur Maisuri Bainun Ipoh, Dr. Amar has had vast experience in mobilizing health services for the Orang Asli communities in Perak. So he weighs in on the issue that's currently happening in Kampung Kuala Koh. Dr. Amar, what were your thoughts when you heard that the Ministry of Health has confirmed that the so-called mysterious illness sweeping through the Batik community is actually measles?
I think it's not unexpected. I think we know measles is still a very disease which is a problem because our vaccination rates are not high enough. We also know that these are migrant communities whose vaccination rates are not optimal. And so I wasn't terribly surprised. We also know that measles is a highly contagious disease that kills people, especially in malnourished communities like the Orang Asli.
That means that it's actually not surprising for it to sweep through a community so quickly and cause so many deaths?
Definitely not. If you have one person with measles in a small community, 90% of people are going to be infected very quickly. This is because measles is contagious even before the rash appears. It's usually contagious 4 days before the rash appears and 4 days after the rash appears. So before the rash appears, you actually don't really know you've got measles. You're not really that unwell. And so you just be mixing with the community and spreading it. And it's a very, very contagious virus. So it's estimated about 90% of people in your community usually get infected.
So the deaths have included the young and old and adults. Mm-hmm. And is that also common for it to affect all age groups that way?
Yes, it will affect all age groups, but deaths are largely going to be on both ends of the spectrum. The older people who are not doing so well and can get respiratory infections, and then those who are under 5 who are very prone to getting pneumonia. Measles is well known to cause pneumonia. Usually it causes a viral pneumonia first, and then because you're immune compromised, you get a secondary bacterial pneumonia which kills you. The mortality rates from the pneumonia are very high. It's estimated about 30-40% of people who get a pneumonia will die. And then secondly, we're dealing with Orang Asli children who are malnourished, so their mortality is much higher.
So now that the cause of the illness is known, what can be done to stop the spread of it and to reduce the deaths?
I think the first thing is, this is probably an introduced disease. The community on its own is fine, but some visitor they came in contact with brought measles to them, being relatively well at that time. So I think even now, we wouldn't want too many visitors to them because you don't know who's carrying the virus in our community. So I think only people who know that they've been immunized with measles and are safe should visit this community and have contact with them. Secondly, if anybody in the community shows signs that they're unwell, I think we should isolate them because we don't want the measles to spread further in the community. Thirdly, probably the most important mechanism is to give them all vitamin A. The World Health Authority has shown very clearly that if you give high-dose vitamin A to people who are malnourished, their mortality for measles decreases considerably. And I would do this preemptively rather than wait for someone to get sick.
So this vitamin A should be given to all members of the village there?
Well, normally it's given to children who come for us when we work in hospital. They come to us, we know they're malnourished, they've got measles, we'll give it straight away. Mm-hmm. But for Orang Asli individuals, generally many of them are malnourished. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to boost them rather than do any harm. So I would go ahead and do it right now as a preemptive mechanism.
Okay.
I think the fourth thing to do is perhaps to bring out anybody who's ill. I think we need to admit somebody who's ill into a good facility. I'm not sure whether currently they've reached a facility which can manage high dependency and intensive care, but I think we should treat anybody who's young or old as potentially at risk of dying and should receive really good intensive care at this time, early, before they get ill.
And of course, they were vulnerable to measles because their vaccination was low. What are the complications of vaccination for a community like the Batik?
Yeah, I think we've always been struggling with Orang Asli communities that are mobile. The ones that have settled are easier to reach. And so these communities, quite often records are hard to maintain and they go and seek healthcare at different health facilities. So I think we need mechanism, first of all, to give very good records. But in doubt, I think it's always advisable to give an extra dose. I think that's not going to hurt them in any way. What we've done in the past while I was with Ministry of Health is we introduced a third dose of measles. We gave this very young at 6 months. It wasn't as effective as the later doses, but we wanted to try and boost the immunity of children very early so that we can prevent an outbreak. So I think the important to get the vaccine in, and I think the issue cannot be the Batik coming to us, but us going to the Batik. So I think mobile health teams going in to identify richest community is important. And for that, we need the community leaders to work with us to access this group. In addition, could I say, it's not just the Batik's response, this Orang Asli group's responsibility. I think it's responsible the rest of Malaysians. If the rest of us have high immunity rates, then measles is going to be wiped out. Mm-hmm. Measles is a disease only carried by humans. So if all Malaysians had good immunity, the Orang Asli are also secured from getting measles. A lot of people actually do want to help the Orang Asli and they go in for medical camps or social visits. I think these individuals need to be sure that their immunization is up to date and that they are well before they go and visit the community. Otherwise, we could actually introduce an infection into a small closed community that's actually at that point secure, but we are bringing in a bug that they are not immune to.
Do you know what currently is the mechanism for reaching out to these types of mobile communities?
Usually we use a mobile health team, which is based in each region, each state. And so this mobile health team will go out to the village. The problem is some Orang Asli villages don't entirely trust the civil service. And we've had occasional communities that desert their village when the mobile team reaches them.
Oh.
So the mobile team has monthly visits to all Orang Asli villages that are accessible.
Mm.
And usually go in there, immunize, weigh the children, give health education. That's a routine Ministry of Health activity, and it's a very successful one. The issue is whether the community wants to work with this team when they arrive.
So what could be done to address that trust issue?
I think it's a long-standing issue and socio-political rather than health. I think we've locked their forest, we've polluted their rivers, we've not given them a voice. I mean, so far into our nation's development, and yet we have not worked to uplift this community. I think we need to actually seriously sit down with Orang Asli leaders and give them more right and more say in what their community needs and more support. I think then they might come around to trusting us. Right now, they don't trust us because their communities are very vulnerable to the logging and other activities that we do.
Apart from vaccination itself, could you just give us an idea of overall what are the social environmental issues that make their health so vulnerable?
Yeah, we just finished a large survey in Perak looking at every child under two, Orang Asli child under two, and not surprisingly, more than 40% are already malnourished at 2 years of age, and that's in Perak. And that's not just mobile communities, that's also communities that are settled. So I think their primary problem is food shortage.
Mm.
Sometimes in our country, we think there's no one who's hungry, but the Orang Asli actually have a severe protein malnutrition problem.
Mm-hmm.
This is because, as I said, the rivers are silted from logging and they've lost their forest protein sources again because we've locked their forests or we've resettled them in a community that doesn't have enough access to the forest.
Mm.
So I think malnutrition is the primary problem that they are facing. They weren't facing this 20, 30 years ago, but this has emerged as a serious problem in the community. So we need to address that issue. If you can get a child through the first 5 years of life in nutrition, usually they're going to make it. But currently, their mortality rates for children under five is in excess of 5 times of the national average.
And what about other issues like access to water?
I think both water and sanitation are a problem. I think that they still largely use rivers or a pit latrine for latrine, and water supply is usually gravity feed water. So it's very important that the upstream water supply is clean. So I think that the logical solution many of us think is just bring them out, urbanize them, and they'll be fine. But they're a community with a different culture and mindset and spiritual outlook compared to us. And very often they actually do enjoy their own culture. And I think somehow we need to go into them and develop systems that work for them. That means water filtration systems that are working on the ground in the villages, in the jungle, rather than just bringing them out.
Mm.
So currently these kind of initiatives are very limited in the country.
Thank you so much, Dr. Amar.
That was Dr. Amar Singh. He is a senior consultant pediatrician. So back in April, Dr. Amar had written an opinion piece in the Malay Mail online listing out the critical issues affecting the health of the Orang Asli communities. As he just mentioned, Orang Asli children die at a rate of 6 to 8 times higher than other Malaysians. So their chronic malnutrition means they are too weak to fight off simple ailments like diarrhea or pneumonia.
And that's what we're seeing now, that a highly infectious disease like measles is hitting them really, really hard, sweeping through like a wave. So, you know, in that piece that you mentioned, Kelly, Dr. Amar also urgently called for meaningful socioeconomic development that is sustainable and culturally acceptable for the communities. And the government needs to significantly increase funding for health and development programs, especially things like community-based feeding programs, which he pointed out are very effective in reducing malnourishment among the children, especially. So, you know, all this seems to come down. No, actually, it doesn't seem to. It does come down to effective and committed leadership to put in systemic changes that can benefit the communities. So who is looking after orang asli issues in this country? It makes you wonder, doesn't it? Something to think about. We have a Twitter question regarding our second story that's coming up.
So we asked you on Twitter, how often do you eat processed foods, junk foods and hot dogs and nuggets included? Your options are every day, 3 to 5 times a week, a few times a month, or never. So you can tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or call us at 03-7733-2900.
Okay, so stay tuned for that story that's coming up. But first, here's Simple Minds with Don't You Forget About Me, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.